Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, for healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Welcome to the show. What show? Today's show. When antibiotics don't work, what to do about it? How many of you have had a friend, a loved one, perhaps yourself, and the doctor tells you this antibiotic isn't working. We need to culture the microbe. Now, that might be for pneumonia. It might be for a urinary tract infection. It might be for Staphylococcus aureus. That's a skin bacterium that creates a carbuncle or a pustule or some big, ugly red pimple mark. And you use the antibiotics and they don't work. You go back to the doctor and they give you a different antibiotic. You start getting nervous because this seems to be a recurrent pattern. And lo and behold, at some point the doctor says, you've got MRSA. And you go, what's MRSA? Well, MRSA stands for methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, which is the response of the bacteria to relentless antibiotic therapy that makes the bacteria mutate, and so it becomes antibiotic resistant. This is legion in the hospitals, in the daycare center, in the gymnasiums. And sometimes the strain of MRSA is flesh-eating, and then you hear the horror stories about the guy that was normal one day, and the next day they were amputating a chunk of his flesh after repeated intravenous antibiotic therapies that didn't work. What are we supposed to learn from this? Well, you know, you can't get nervous to the point of hysterical about it, but what you have to understand is microbes think. Microbes are living organisms. They have intelligences, and they have responses stimulated by what you send in there to kill them. We have had a great span with antibiotic therapies. Mind you, antibiotic therapies discovered by Fleming in 1929 was simply fungus that killed microbes, fungus that killed bacteria. Fleming was a scientist. He was doing his petri dish experiments and incidentally noticed that there were certain parts of the petri dish that didn't grow the bacteria. And in place of the bacteria was this other stuff, which he cultured and found to be fungus. Putting two to two together, and we birthed antibiotic therapy. By 1940, we were mass producing the antibiotics, and of course, the rest is history. Antibiotics work. Antibiotics have saved life. Antibiotics are a blessing. But we've been messing with organisms that know how to think. They play chess. And now it's getting tricky. Now, the point. Corollary to this, from the 1850s was another approach. Meaning, while Pasteur, who first got successful with cures for rabies using vaccines, which are basically natural medicine, a vaccine is really natural medicine tampered by science. And I'll explain that in a moment. But back in the 1880s, 1890s, when Pasteur was peaking, there was competition from a group of equally credentialed men, Beauchamp, Claude Bernard, and later on down the line, Gaston Nessens, Royal Rife. The point is, this notion that we have to kill it has been competed with let me put it to you this way. We have been using microbes to kill microbes all the way back to ancient medicine. And for as much as Pasteur gets all the credit for killing microbes with man-made therapies, well, back as far as the Middle Ages, the Chinese were taking smallpox. Now, smallpox has killed about 300 million people. The Chinese were taking smallpox scabs, grinding them up and snorting them to confer immunity, and I mean lifelong immunity, to people that could weather the storm. And by the storm, I mean when you take a microbe and you attenuate it. So what do we mean by attenuate it? When you take a bacteria, or you take, as in the case of smallpox, a virus, and you do something to it that weakens it a little bit, and then you inoculate it, you snort it, you take it intravenously, you take it through the rectum, you rub it into your skin. However you get this slightly modified virus or bacteria into your body, it stimulates an immune response that, because the virus or bacteria has been altered, attenuated, weakened a little, you can get sick, but you can get over it. Once you get over it, you become immune, and your immunity is lifelong. The Chinese were doing this hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Pasteur simply transferred it to a harder form of science. Now, Edward Jenner, who predates Pasteur by 100 or so years, was noticing that cow people, meaning what we call the cow maids, the women who milked the cows, while smallpox was epidemic, the women, the milkmaids, who got cowpox, which wasn't as lethal, as dangerous as smallpox, the women that got cowpox seemed to resist smallpox at a far more dramatic degree. And so what Jenner decided to do is inoculate with cowpox. He decided to take people and use an attenuated form of the smallpox virus, in this case cowpox, and started conferring immunity. So this notion of fighting bacteria with bacteria, we note in the history of health history. Now, what does this mean for you today? It means you have to start to think very, very differently about how you're going to approach these sad messages you get sometimes, where you find out that the antibiotic doesn't work on your bacteria. And that's a dual approach. One, and this is what's so exciting, it opens up the discussion to the possibility that if you have an infection that is antibiotic resistant, that you might just use forms of bacteria. In other words, your own types of inoculations to fight the microbe that the antibiotic fails to fight. And guess what? This has been going on, I told you, hundreds of years. But let me bring some science in. During the 1920s, the 1930s, even before that, German scientists were studying a microbe that lives in your gut called E. coli. Now, this is not the strain of E. coli that causes food poisoning. So don't get me wrong. E. coli has many different types of E. coli. There is an E. coli that lives in your gut naturally. And German scientists found that if they bred it and they fed it back to your body, that it would go after the pathogens. It would go after those same bugs the antibiotic goes after, only with startling success. Now, hang on to your hats, because the fact of the matter is, this is actually being used today. We are using E. coli, a certain strain of it, to do fecal implants for people who are antibiotic resistant for diseases in the gastrointestinal tract. Discover Magazine did a great article. I have, if you get to the website, as always, straighttalk.cc, not .com, but .cc, that's with two T's, straighttalk.cc. Click to view the article on fecal transplantation, bacteriotherapy. This is a concept we've got to get in touch with. They're actually taking your loved one or your family's feces, which is going to be high in that E. coli strain, and they're putting it into your body rectally to have it flourish and knock out the pathogens that the antibiotic fails to do. Check that out. But in the big picture, what I want to give to you is this understanding that you can't just fight microbes with antibiotics anymore. Because the antibiotics think. And this is the thing about antibiotics. Excuse me, the bacteria think. And this is the thing about microbes. We need to develop another relationship with them. And that relationship has to respect the fact that we can genetically engineer as many drugs as we want. In the end, we will be outsmarted by the microbe. Whether that microbe is a bacteria or whether that microbe is a virus is irrelevant. Living organisms have brains. They know how to swap genes. And while we're following their trail by first coding their own genetic sequence and then engineering something to counter the replication pattern, in other words, we engineer drugs beyond antibiotics, or call them antibiotics, to go into their replication patterns and break their sequences, their mechanisms. Well, that means we're always one or two steps behind because everything we do is countered. And if there's one thing I have learned over 20 years of doing this is if you pursue a microbe by threatening its genetic code, it's going to go into its special conference and it's going to re-engineer itself. You even see this with chemotherapy. People, when they get the metastatic cancers, not the original tumor, but the metastatic cancers, and all of a sudden, and they're doing this all over cancer therapy now, they are doing the genetic pattern. They're testing for the genetics of the mutated cancerous tumors and finding that, unfortunately, the cancer has mutated so that the old chemo didn't work and they have to look for a new chemo, or they find it's mutated after they gave you the wrong chemo. Again, cancer is a living organism. You don't think of it that way. We only think of it as let's kill it. Understand this, not just about cancer, but especially about microbes. If you attack, you force it to respond, and it responds by a mutation. And that mutation is why we are getting now to the era of antibiotic-resistant microbes. Staph is one of them. When you see that Staphylococcus aureus infection on your skin, impetigo is a strain of one. If you've been told you have Staph aureus on the skin, that Staph is in your body. That Staph on your skin is contagious. You give that Staph on your skin to somebody else in the family, at what point does that Staph become resistant? Those of you who have done Accutane, the acne drug. Those of you who have done long-term antibiotics, people with bladder infections, antibiotic after antibiotic after antibiotic, and what do you find at some point? The antibiotics don't work, and you live with bladder infections. Once you have an infection that's mutated against antibiotic therapy, you don't know where you're going. You don't know what that bug is going to do. Fact of the matter is, if your probiotic bacteria in the gut have been wiped out, if you've, say, done IV antibiotics, if you've done drugs like Accutane, if you've done long-term antibiotics, and you lose the probiotics, now let's talk about the probiotics in your gut, the first one. And I'm not talking about just your regular lactobacillus or bifidus, bulgaricus, acidophilus, all that stuff you can pick up at your health food store. I'm talking about something like mutiflora. German scientists in the 19-teens, before World War I, during World War I, World War II, during those areas, 1910 to 1950, were studying E. coli. There was a scientist named Dr. Nissle, N-I-S-S-L-E. If you go on the website to picture number 32, you can learn about a product called Mutiflora. Mutiflora has been studied. Mutiflora is a particular strain of E. coli. It's a probiotic. It is classified as a probiotic, but it's not the normal probiotic. It has been studied. I put articles on the website. It has been studied so completely and so thoroughly in terms of its mechanism. Now, when you talk about a probiot, you're talking about a little animal that has to survive the stomach acid, that has to go down into the intestines, that has to stick its fingers into the inner lining of the intestine, that has to grow itself, that has to defend itself against the pathogenic attacks, and that has to be able to create a chemistry in there that will kill the funguses and kill the other pathogenic bacterias. And time permitting, not permitting, I can't get into all the dynamics, so get to the website. But you've all heard about probiotics. You're not thinking, though, in terms of more powerful bacterias. You're not thinking in terms of E. coli. E. coli to you is what you get stomach poisoning from, what you get food poisoning from. Go on the website and look at that product, Metaflor. Understand it's been studied for over 100 years. Understand it's understood as that which goes down into your gut, attaches to the bowel wall, and starts producing nuclear bombs for the pathogens in the intestinal tract. And that means it can launch a colossal attack on those pathogens that the antibiotics can't get. Understand, they've taken this to the point where now they're doing fecal implants with E. coli. At the turn of the century, there was a doctor, Dr. Coley. He created the Coley toxin. Coley toxins were virulent forms of a couple of bacteria. One of those was a streptococcus, and the other one was a Marcer cerasens, it's called. And what Coley would do with the Streptococcus pyogenes and the Serratia marcescens is he would make these cocktails and inject them into cancer patients. Again, hinting that the cancer's got some relationship to a microbe. Hinting that the cancer, like the bacteria, creates this gelatinous blob around it that fights the immune system. And in the case of the microbe, that fights the antibiotic. And what the Coley toxin did and proved itself, and I put articles on the website from the early 1900s declaring to the world that Dr. Coley was curing terminal cancer, which he was. This is all non-fringe. This is straight, hard, and in the science books. And what it showed us is another example of how we could use bacteria to break down biofilms. In the case of the Coley toxin, to go after cancer. Again, an example of how we can use a microbe to shift the internal system of the body. Now, this was much more akin, okay, to a notion that they had in the 1870s and 1880s by Beauchamp. And I put this wonderful book, it's a biography called Beauchamp or Pasteur, on picture number one. It's written by a woman named Ethel Hume. Beauchamp or Pasteur, a lost chapter in the history of biology. It's about the argument between two of the most credentialed microbiologists in France at the time when we were really birthing microbiology. They are both the father of microbiology. But Beauchamp was much more committed to the notion that you should take the body and break down the environment of the body. Dissolve the environment that gives either the cancer or, in fact, the bacteria or, in fact, the virus an opportunity to grow. Beauchamp was much closer to the notion that you could use a microbe to go after a microbe. And it was none other than Emile Fischer, who in 1908 was awarded the Nobel Prize. This is Emile Fischer, who, like Beauchamp, was very interested in how bacteria go after other bacteria. So from the 1870s, modern science if you want to talk about ancient science, you're going back to the Chinese and people of India hundreds of years ago. But if you want to stick to modern Western science, as far back as the 1870s, this idea that you could attenuate a microbe, this idea that you could take a probiote, even what you might otherwise consider a, well, fringe probiote, like 19 E. coli, and utilize them to go after pathogens in the gut, has been one of the mainstays of an alternative approach to microbes, which has now come full circle to fecal implants. So this bacteria that we're talking about that resists the antibiotic, well, one, it mutates. Number two, it forms a layer of mucus around it that we call a biofilm. Once it's in a biofilm, it doesn't even need to mutate. Once it's in a biofilm, it doesn't matter what it is, bacteria, a virus, once it's in a cave that the drug can't get to, doesn't even need to mutate. It could mutate or not, and it's still protected. Well, there are things you can do to break the biofilm down. If you've got an antibiotic-resistant bladder infection, an antibiotic-resistant Staph aureus infection, you know, when Staph mutates and then travels, and you can't use antibiotics, it can end up in your eye, it can end up in your lip. If you go online and you look at the manifestations of these things, they're terrible. What was in the bladder destroys the kidney. What was on the skin is now on the lip or the organ systems. And all of these are going to be, by that time, mutated or not, encased in these mucus plugs called biofilms. If you're thinking about waging war against against a microbe in a biofilm, again, another mindset. Number one, your hydrochloric acid. Those of you on proton pump inhibitors, those of you who have been given drugs, those of you who are low HCl, body's first chemical arsenal to make sure the infection never goes anywhere is hydrochloric acid. If you're sympathetic dominant, under stress, you're not secreting it. If you've got reflux because you're not eating correctly or you've got structural issues and you've got this problem with reflux, acid, heartburn, and some doctor gives you a PPI, a proton pump inhibitor, or something that blocks your HCl production, guess what it's going to do to your microbial ecology? Bile. If the bile doesn't flow, bile is a detergent. Yes, coffee enemas, olive oil flushes, anything we call the liver flushes to promote the flow of bile. Bile, like HCl, is another antimicrobial. For those of you that are overweight, for those of you whose insulin is high, for those of you who aren't sleeping, at some point, to combat a antibiotic-resistant chronic infection, you may have to disintegrate yourself. Now, there's a concept that you gotta really kick back so you can relax and wrap your head around the fact that if you've got an antibiotic-resistant microbe, your only choice at some point may be to disintegrate your body. To fast it out, I'm talking water fast. I'm talking about a supervised water fast. I'm talking about a supervised juice fast. I'm talking about people who have been ravaged by microbes and are facing serious situations that need a serious response. And one of them is disintegrate the body. As you disintegrate your body, you disintegrate the terrain that the microbe lives in. When you combine that with all the other detoxifications, getting the HCl up, getting the bile to flow, infusing your intestine with an E. coli strain that promotes health, infusing the intestine with all the other probiotics, eating the foods that build up the probiotics in there, you're doing what? You're calling to order all the natural mechanisms of the body to dissolve the biofilm, and you're calling to order all the natural bacteria of the body to go after the pathogen. Give your hypothalamus gland an opportunity to put all that to work in the name of health, and then you can watch the miracle. This is how you get on the other side of chronic resistant infectious disease. Now, you see, that's so far away from just popping an antibiotic in or just dropping an herb into your body that people resist that. So the microbe resists the antibiotic, and the people resist the true therapy. No truer words will be spoken about how to get on the other side of these chronic Lyme disease. Lyme destroys lives. When you get Lyme, the little tick bite, the mark, and it goes into your joints or it goes into your brain, you've already failed antibiotic therapy. That's when you have to think of what I've laid down here before you today. There are a lot of people with radical, chronic, antibiotic, drug-resistant infections that have to embrace an old and yet seemingly new perspective on how to combat the microbe. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to my website, 350-something shows for you and growing. Get to the website to learn what you really need to do. Perhaps under supervision, perhaps you're a self-starter. Look at all the pictures, listen to the show again. Study it like it's your own course. It's your own internet course. And then go into it yourself. Use your own mind. Use your own creative intelligence and understand that what you call holistic medicine, well, you're only getting the surface of it. There's precepts, concepts underneath it all that are so foundational, that are so backed by science that really alternative medicine is a poor word for it. It's real medicine. If you're lost, of course, in the labyrinth of health, and you've got health concerns you need addressed, 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. We'll see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.